Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've never seen you from this perspective.
It's, how do we look?
Good looking group, actually.
Good.
I think it was a mere 55 years ago, I was a 10-year-old boy in the very small town of Batavia, now with a population of over 25,000, but it was a very small town in those days. And other than shagging fly balls and absolutely idolizing Ernie Banks at that time, one of my favorite boyhood memories is of watching monarch butterflies as a child, which at that time were both, and still are, beautiful, but were also abundant at that time, flutter through neighborhood gardens in multitudes. So the monarch was really kind of part of my boyhood and a great memory. And I think I've noticed over in my adult life that we see less and fewer monarchs in our area. And the truth is that the monarch is an absolutely, the story of the monarch is absolutely amazing. That they migrate between northern USA and Canada and the state of Michoacán in Mexico on an annual basis. And in doing so, actually go through four generations or more of life. And yet their genetic code is such that they follow that migratory route year in, year out, generation to generation. And they pass through prominently through Illinois. And what has transpired over the last few years is that their numbers have fallen precipitously. And they are in danger in general terms, but being looked at in terms of the federal government as being an endangered species as well. Their habitat over the last 20 years has been reduced by acreage that is equivalent to the size of the state of Texas. And so the situation or the support system for the monarch butterfly is failing at this point. And so I had noticed one of the things that piqued my interest was a National Resource Defense Council newsletter that had an article on the topic. And so I called folks at the NRDC, had that conversation, and then engaged our staff here at the Tollway as well. And I have to say I really appreciate the fact that Christy and Tollway staff was very open to the discussion. And the idea being basically that we utilize our right-of-way, utilize our properties here along that migratory route of the monarch butterfly, so intimately connected to the state of Illinois, to try to further the propagation and health of that ecosystem and the success, continued success of the monarch in our area. Again, we initiated a conversation. I want to thank everybody involved and great dialogue, and I think we have something to talk about here that has some great possibilities here for the Tollway. And so at this point, I'd like to, if I could, introduce Rebecca Riley from the NRDC, or Natural Resource Defense Council. And I think staff will, she's going to weigh in a little bit, give you some a little background of why this might be a great initiative, and then I think the Tollway, our Tollway staff, will talk a little bit more about how we might, in fact, go about that. So I appreciate your indulgence here, and Rebecca, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Wisner, and thank you all for taking the time today to think a little bit about how the Illinois Tollway can actually serve as great habitat for the monarch butterfly. I, too, have a childhood memory very much connected to the monarch. I grew up in Monmouth, Illinois, which is a small town in west central Illinois. And almost every year, our teachers would go out and find caterpillars, monarch caterpillars, climbing around on the little milkweed leaves and bring them into the classroom where we'd keep them in a little shoebox on the side and watch as they built a cocoon and ultimately emerged as this beautiful butterfly. And as years have gone on, I've heard that the teachers are struggling to find those caterpillars because there has been this huge decline. And so this is an issue NRDC is very focused on. The monarch butterfly is a pollinator. And it turns out roadsides could really be a big part of the solution. And it happens that in Illinois, some school children in Decatur also had this connection to the monarch butterfly, and in 1974 made it the Illinois state insect. So as Mayor Wisner told you, the story of the monarch butterfly is really amazing. It takes multiple generations for these butterflies to come from Canada, the Midwest, to this one area in Michoacán, Mexico. And every year, despite the fact that these aren't the same butterflies that were there the year before, they all come to the same area. And as you can see in this picture, they all go onto the little trees in really, really, really dense formations. And they say when you look at the trees, they kind of flutter because of all the butterflies on them. And so one of the ways that we count the butterflies and figure out how many, what the population levels are looking like, is by going to Michoacán and seeing how many butterflies have arrived there compared to how many arrived the year before. And that's how we know we have this huge decline. So this actually shows the migratory route and can show you how important the Midwest is for the monarch butterfly. The monarchs that end up in Michoacán, you can see kind of in the middle, are coming up from Canada and the Midwest. And so those are the ones that are really critical to restoring this really unique migration. So the big question is, what's happening? Why are the monarchs dying? Why don't we have as many as we used to have? And the first thing to know is that the monarch caterpillars rely solely on milkweed, which is actually a really beautiful flower. But we used to have lots of milkweed in the Midwest. And in fact, it used to grow in the middle of fields. And monarchs would fly into the middle of the fields, lay their eggs on that milkweed, and then when the caterpillars emerged, they would have a source of food. But as we've increased our use of pesticides, in particular Roundup, which is also known as glyphosate, those pesticides, they're meant to kill weeds, and one of the things they kill is milkweed. So we've had really broad destruction of milkweed. It's really increased probably in the last 10 years as we've increased the use of glyphosate. But as you can imagine, the amount of milkweed that used to grow in this state before we started developing and having all these farm fields was much greater. So every year we start to lose more and more milkweed. And this is just a map that kind of shows you glyphosate use, and you can see it's very heavy in the Midwest, as you would expect, given the heavy agricultural use. And this is telling you the kind of the story of the declines. As I mentioned, one of the ways we measure the number of monarch butterflies is looking at the number of hectares they take over in Michoacán, Mexico. And over the past few years, you can see the decline. Back down to 0.67 last year, and the new numbers just came out just the other day. They're a tiny bit up, but we're still under 1 hectare in Mexico. So it turns out there's a solution, and the roadsides can be a really huge part of the solution. So what we need is an area where milkweed can grow, where we're not mowing all the time, where we're not spraying a lot of pesticides and killing the weeds. And it turns out the roadsides are one of the last great sources of this open land that can be turned into a more natural prairie habitat and can serve as habitat for the milkweed butterfly, for the monarch butterfly, excuse me. And so we've been looking at roadsides and how we can get more milkweed on our roadsides. And so that's how we got in this conversation with Mayor Wisner about how the tollway actually has lots of land that could serve as this good habitat. Some other states have already started doing this. Iowa is actually the state that's really pretty far ahead on this task. And you can imagine Iowa is also a state where There's lots of Roundup being used. The milkweed has been dying. But where the monarch is also a very iconic species. So they've, in Iowa, the Department of Transportation has planted over 1,000 pounds of milkweed over 8,000 acres in the last couple of years. So they're really making an amazing effort to really restore milkweed habitat and support the monarch butterfly. Minnesota has also started these efforts. They include milkweed seed in their roadside mixes. And so these are roadsides that you're not planting with grass, you're planting with prairie plants, including milkweed. And so Minnesota has been doing a lot more of that. And Wisconsin has begun doing that as well. And so now I'm going to pass it over to talk to Brian Wagner to talk a little bit about how this actually could be implemented. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot for the opportunity to be here. As Director Wisner has pointed out and Rebecca has pointed out, it's definitely a growing issue, and it's a very iconic species and one of value, more than just aesthetic value, that I'm going to highlight here right now. So the value of the species, what is it? Why do we need to care? It's an indicator species, kind of one note. An indicator species, what's that mean? Well, it's a representative of a healthy environment, healthy ecosystem. So if you're out in an area and you see a large population of butterflies, monarchs in particular, there, you can pretty much be assured that you're in a relatively healthy natural environment. Also, it's a key to the food chain. You start eliminating links to a chain and you put that chain at risk, or the strength of that chain at risk. So you eliminate the species and you've eliminated one complete link. How much longer will that chain hold on with that link missing? You take out one, you can pretty much be assured that others are going to follow quickly. From the economic standpoint, what's the value of the species? Globally, the White House did a survey and found that 87 of the 115 leading crops that they looked at, agricultural crops that they looked at, are dependent on pollinators. So the larger number here on the pollinators, the $24 billion that they contribute to the U.S. economy, a lot of that is focused on honeybees. But if you look down to the bottom there, we have $9 billion that native pollinators, such as the monarch butterfly, assist in contributing to the economy. So while that's the U.S. economy, a heavy part of the state's economy and local economies is the ag industry. So outside of the aesthetics and those memories that we have, there is economic value to restoring these habitats. So what's our role? What can we do as an agency? Good question. We can work with the Natural Resource Defense Council. We can work with state agencies to make sure our mission, we assist them in their missions in restoring habitats. We can look at our seeds. We have a number of different seed mixes that we use throughout our system. And we can look at those and see if we can supplement those seed mixes to better restore or better enable habitat throughout the tollway system. And currently, we have 20 contracts out there this year in design on I-90, on I-88, and the tri-state, that there's potential that there's some prime areas in there for some restoration. So habitat management, as Rebecca pointed out, is a pretty big key to this. Minimizing mowing and pesticide use is, what we would have to do and focus on as an agency. So right now, our typical mowing practices are two times a year. We do a spring and a fall mow, kind of one pass around. So what we would do in these areas where we do restoration is we would limit that to one mow a year. And it would be what we call a high mow, and a minimum of 6 inches is what that would be. So also, we don't use a lot of pesticides or herbicides on our system, but we make sure that in these areas that we're focusing on, that they're completely eliminated.
So the high mow is important, right, because those caterpillars hatch at a certain time and become butterflies? Or let's talk, if you could just mention quickly why that mowing is.
Good point. So the high mow and I guess getting back to my first bullet there, habitat takes several years to establish. HIMO will provide, yes, still some habitat for the species.
As they're migrating?
As they're migrating and developing. You don't want to cut it too short. Native plants, you have to allow them a little bit more time than a non-native plant to establish themselves. So that HIMO will help knock off undesirable seed heads and species, and it will still allow a usable or good height for the native plants to establish. And while leaving that viable plant there for caterpillar food source. So I guess also another key point here is that the habitat takes several years to establish. It's not like going out and planting turf grass in your backyard or something along those lines. It's when doing natural area restoration, as we'll get to here in a second with some of our wetland mitigation sites, and some of you might be familiar with it, it takes several years. So it's not like you just go throw some seeds out there and you can walk away. And lastly here, we continually monitor these efforts where we do the habitat restoration work. It's something that we will document and make sure that we follow up and have a close relationship with our maintenance department on. So our wetland mitigation areas, pardon me. These are some really unique areas for a number of reasons, but also for the species as a whole. While we looked at some of the seed mixes at these sites, a number of them included milkweed, but there are some things that we can do to further enhance the areas. So by working with the Forest Preserve districts and working with our contractors to see what seed types we can potentially remove from those seed lists and add to them. So we'll explore those ideas. And the size of these sites are pretty unique in themselves and their connection to additional green space. So as you can see, we've got well over or almost 500 acres of land here that we're going to be actively working on and working with for the next several years. That provides a great opportunity for species habitat and then also has nice connection to other adjacent green spaces.
So how did the tiger swallowtail sneak in there?
I'm sorry?
How did the tiger swallowtail sneak in? It's supposed to be a monarch presentation. Director Wisner, how'd you let that happen?
I think we were highlighting the potential for the plant species incorporating it.
Okay.
Good catch. All right, so our seed mixes. A number of them are prairie type mixes, native seed mixes that incorporate some milkweed. But there are some substitutes or additions that could be made to those seed mixes if this is something that we wish to pursue. Here's some milkweed, which is, from my vantage point, doesn't look to be that vibrant of a flower, but hopefully what you're looking at is a little bit more vibrant of an orange. It's a beautiful plant, it's a beautiful flower, and something that that is included in our seed mixes. But like I said, there are additional species that could be added there. And so what we would do with our seed mixes is we would evaluate what's there and what are the best other species to incorporate. And by incorporating additional species, we would look at those lists to see what could be removed, what isn't, not necessarily desirable, but what doesn't provide the best habitat for the species and pull those out and really balance the mixes so we're not adding new species. We're not just adding to something. We're making sure that there's a nice balance that's being achieved. So our next steps, I guess with your consent, we would like to pursue this initiative. We feel it's a very valuable one. As Director Wisner and Rebecca pointed out, there's a strong need for the further development of restoration of this habitat. Rebecca did a really good job of noting that our roadside areas are prime areas for habitat restoration with over 286 miles of roadway. Multiply that by two, that's not all of our right-of-way, but we have a substantial amount of miles of right-of-way where we can look to explore this habitat restoration. guess I'm interested to, maybe it's a nod of heads, I know that it's a formal vote, but is there any input, thoughts?
I get to do that.
So, this is a no cost. To add this to our seed mix is not going to be a cost beyond what we're already paying, correct?
Correct, and that's what I was trying to get at here, is that with supplementing our seed mixes, we would be sure to balance out any additions with taking out some species. So it's essentially a no cost to the agency. Actually, it's likely a cost saver on the maintenance side because we have some less mowing. We have one less mowing that we're going to be doing a year, so we have fuel costs there that we're saving.
So, questions? Yes.
I was just going to say, my initial interest was, you know, really along the sentimental end of things, in the sense that, you know, it's a beautiful piece of nature with an absolutely fantastic story of how it, the migration route, etc., and it's tied so much to our state. But beyond that sentimental aspect, I think, is the fact that it has serious and strong agricultural and economic implications as well. And so we're not only serving nature, I think we're serving our economy and our ability to pollinate our crops, etc. So I think there's multiple benefits here from engaging in this program.
I think this initiative really ties in perfectly with what you highlighted earlier at the beginning of the meeting on the sustainability policy and sustainability plan. You know, we've highlighted the economic importance of the species. There's obviously some very social important aspects to it. I have my memories, although mine aren't in Illinois. I was in Central Texas with mine. But so we have an economic, the social aspect, and then the environmental aspect as well from pollination. And then,
and I would note, yes, Ryan, you did a nice job of talking about the link here with the global food supply. And we know how important agriculture is in the state of Illinois, you know, not only to, as a food, to produce our food, but, you know, our economy is very much an agriculture-driven economy in many parts of the state. So we've checked with the Department of Agriculture, correct?
Correct, yes, and they were very enthusiastic with this concept and really encouraged us to move forward with it. Very much in support and look forward to working with us moving forward. So should it be something we decide to do.
Other questions and comments on
this? I would just ask, you know, we have, you know, Move Illinois has a number of ambitious projects on the boards, in addition to the areas you talked about, but I'm assuming that this will be given a good look on any future project in terms of how that could be, how this habitat could be integrated into future construction and new right of way.
Definitely. And that those 20 contracts that I highlighted were just active ones for this year. So moving forward, if this is an initiative that we decide to pursue, it'll be something that will be looked at. We can look to the supplements or the modifications to the seed mixes that we'll make for this year. We can look to make those permanent, and so it's part of our program.
So I had two questions. First is where we've been using the milkweed seed in the mix already. Is there a way that we've been monitoring to see how successful we've been in terms of actual cultivation and success with the species? Not the monarchs. I know we count those someplace else, but what with the milkweed?
No, we haven't.
Okay, probably we'll be doing that going forward, I assume.
Yes.
Okay, and then my second question is, we were sort of talking, Rebecca, too, or Ms. Riley, I'm sorry, we're talking about roadside planting. I think I remember in my residual memory someplace that there are places where communities really don't want natural habitat. So we've sort of come back and forth between talking about places where we're doing restoration, natural restoration, and then sort of using the term roadside planting interchangeably, I think. Is that really what we're talking about here, or I'll stop my question there.
So I guess the key to it is that we won't just wholesalely plant these species throughout the system. We want to make sure that they're target areas and appropriate areas for it to occur. So, and with that, that's where the coordination with the Natural Resource Defense Council, experts on the species and the topic, will be integral in making sure that, all right, maybe the 294 Ogden Interchange isn't the most appropriate location for it, but as we move further west in our system, things along those lines. So there's a bit more to be dialed in on the concept to make a formal program, but those are things that will occur.
Okay, I was making a slightly different point. I think I understand you want to do it where it's good for the habitat. My point is there may be some places, you've talked about we have 286 miles, there may be some places along that miles where communities are not interested in having, I love it, but the milkweeds with the little white feathers or fur or whatever they are floating
around. I think there are certainly communities, regardless of what's there, who prefer the look of something that's mowed.
Yeah, and
right?
just to keep that in mind as we're developing this initiative, as I know you will, but right. I wanted to make sure for anybody who was watching or listening or looked at our minutes later, that they don't think we're going to come out and plant on 286 miles of road that runs side that runs along the tollway, because I know the communities care about what that looks like. I'm sure there are many communities who would appreciate this and welcome it. There are others where we just have to be sensitive to what the culture of the community might be.
Understood. Very good point.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've dealt with.
I'm sure. I just wanted to let you on the record so we don't have a lot of people getting alarmed about something that they needn't be alarmed about. Any other questions or comments? I want to thank Director Wisner for bringing this to us and welcome the NRDC to our happy home. We're happy to have you back when you can report together on the success of this and what we've done, and we'll all be watching Mexico to see if the hectares grow greater. Anything further on this? Is there a consensus of the board that we should continue and go forward with this initiative and come back to us and report as it progresses? Now we have the nodding.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's
you
all
have anything
that,
else?
No. That's
okay, thank you. So then we'll turn to the consent agenda. I always say this, but I want to make sure that people who aren't familiar with our work here understand that the committees have gone through these items in detail and have asked questions and done thorough discussions on these issues. That doesn't preclude other directors raising questions or commenting on them, but as both Director Peterson and Director Wisner reported, much of this has been vetted through committees. So let's start with finance. We have two items on finance. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? I see none. On engineering, I believe we can do 1 through 6. I see a recusal for Director Sweeney, although he's not here, so we don't have to do that. So I think we can do, believe it or not, 1 through 18.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals or abstentions. Number 19, we will take in executive session that pertains to the identification of real estate parcels associated with the Elgin O'Hare. Okay, so I don't think we have anything else on the consent agenda. Do we have any unfinished business? Do we have any new business? I don't think so. Well, therefore, we will ask our general counsel to give us a motion to go into executive session.
There is a need for executive session pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically section 2C1 to discuss individual personnel items, 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining issues, 2C5 to discuss real estate acquisition of the board, and 2C11 to discuss pending litigation against the board.
Okay, may I hear a motion to
so moved.
Capture. David's motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, thank you all very much. We'll see you.